This morning, as we come to the preaching of God's Word, our text is found in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And this morning, I wish to address the topic of stress, worry, and anxiety. Now, the Bible has much to say as to how we are to confront and have victory over these crippling behaviors, which, if we are completely honest, we all struggle with. Of course, some individuals will suffer more regularly and intensely, but nevertheless, to varying degrees, we can all be struck. And hence, it's vital that we consider what the Scriptures teach us about the cause and the remedy of stress, worry, and anxiety. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through to verse 8 is going to be our text. So let's read that now. Philippians chapter 4, commence reading at verse 4. Hear the word of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. The title for the sermon this morning is Releasing Anxiety's Stranglehold. So let's commit this time to the Lord. Father, we do thank you that we can come and meet this morning. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time that we've just had around the table. Father, we do thank you for our redemption. We thank you that Jesus paid the price for our sins. And Father, now we do thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that we can have it within our own language, that we are free to read and study it. And Lord, I do pray this morning that as we come to the preaching of the word, I do pray that we'd hear the voice of Christ this morning. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit, Lord, would grant us the gift of illumination and help us to apply your word within our lives. I do ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Without a doubt, I am sure most here this morning, sometime recently, perhaps even this week, have been stressed or anxious or worried about one thing or another. This is all too common within our society. We live in a stressful environment, an anxious and worry-prone culture. It is rather ironic that we live in the most affluent, indulged, and advanced society that has ever existed, and yet we could really be known or described as the age of anxiety. We tend to worry about absolutely everything, often to the extreme of making ourselves sick. We seem to be constantly stressed out, particularly when it comes to work or study or family. And how often we end up in an anxious mess, and it just seems all too much. Varying surveys that have been taken in our country present stats that well over half, and some say up to 75% of Australians, suffer from higher than what is considered to be normal and healthy levels of stress and anxiety, with the most common causes being money and family, the most common remedies to this being television and alcohol, and the effects both physically and mentally are detrimental. Now, in fact, the words worry and anxiety come from an Anglo-Saxon term that means to strangle. And that's a very apt way to describe its effects. Now, this, my friend, is an epidemic. But it's not just prevalent out here in the world that we live. It's also rampant within the church. Now, we as Christians are often strangled and crippled with worry and with anxiety. And it's this that I want to speak on this morning. And we must first realize that the Bible is not silent on this issue. In fact, it has much to say. Jesus alone exhorts us at least 12 times to not worry, don't be anxious. Many other times we are told, do not fear, don't be afraid. And the Apostle Paul commands in the text before us in verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing, which could be translated, don't be anxious, or stop worrying. When a command is given, it means that with God's grace and strength, this can be kept. Which tells us that as believers, it is possible for us to live a life free from worry and anxiety. Now, the Bible does not just offer us a way to manage the issue like our society does, but rather to completely eradicate it and to replace it with something much better. But before we consider this, I wish to make three observations about the topic before us. Number one, worrying and being anxious is a sin. Now, this is the clear teaching of the Word of God. And it's very important that we grasp this if we are to ever experience freedom from it. For if we do not see it as a sin, we will not see the urgency and the necessity to confront it. Number two, it doesn't mean we are not to care about anything. Now, I want to make it clear that what the Bible teaches does not mean that we are not to care about anything whatsoever. No, we're to live a carefree life, do what we want, just be irresponsible, waste our money, don't care about anyone or anything. Not at all. Now, there is such a thing as genuine and godly care and concern. As one author said, to care is a virtue, but to foster cares is a sin. And number three, mankind is both physical and spiritual. This morning, as a preacher, it's my responsibility to confront the spiritual issues. But I do understand that there can be and are physical causes and life experiences that affect how people respond. And as a result of this, certain individuals are more susceptible to worry and anxiety as a result, particularly if they have endured terrible things within their lives. And hence this too must be taken into account. So I'm very aware of this, I'm sympathetic and I'm compassionate towards that. But what I also believe, as the Bible clearly presents, is that more often than we care to admit, our worry, our stress and our anxiety are caused or are rooted in spiritual problems. And it's these that I wish to address this morning. Now, my friend, it is possible for we who are the children of God to live free from worry and anxiety. These sinful behaviors can be eradicated and replaced with joy and the peace of God. Peace that passeth all understanding. That's what the text teaches us. And this sounds like a pretty great trade, doesn't it? Instead of being burdened with the worries of life and being in an anxious mess about the uncertainties of life, we can possess joy unspeakable and incomprehensible peace. Allow me to share with you from God's Word three spiritual problems that are responsible for causing worry, stress, and anxiety. And in order for we to live free from these crippling behaviors and possess joy and peace in their place, it's vital that we address these problems. The first problem that I wish to consider is a theological problem. And this is found in verses 4 and 5, which says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. It has been said that what comes to our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. How well we know God, what we think about God, what we believe about God, what you and I call our theology, has major practical ramifications in our lives. A low or a shallow view and understanding of God leads to many problems. Problems including worry and anxiety. In verse 4, we are exhorted to rejoice in the Lord. This joy is to be a distinctive mark of the believer. In fact, it is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. And this joy is not a superficial happiness that is based upon circumstances. You know, this is the joy of the world. They're happy if everything is going well. But rather, this joy speaks of a deep down confidence, an internal happiness that is rooted in the Lord, in who He is, and what we are and what we possess in Him. This is the source or the governing factor of the believer's joy. It is found in Christ. It's not found in circumstances, for if it's found in circumstances where we're trying to find joy, then it will most certainly lead to worry and anxiety. For often we find ourselves in difficult and trying situations, don't we? But since we find our joy in Christ, it's possible to be joyful no matter the trial or the suffering in our lives. Now, John MacArthur summed this point up well, as he normally does. He says, joy is not a feeling, but a deep down confidence that God is in control of everything for the believer's good and his own glory. And thus, all is well no matter the circumstances. And my friend, this is why knowledge and understanding of God is of utmost importance in overcoming worry. If we truly comprehend and we trust the sovereignty of God and the providence of God, then we will not be anxious. Now, although the sovereignty of God and the providence of God can often cause us difficulties, they can be challenging to understand all the intricate details, but my friend, they are meant to be a great comfort. The fact that God is in control and His hand is upon our lives is meant to bring us great peace. No, God is in control of everything that's happening on this earth. He has a plan for your life, and that plan is a good plan. He's working all things together for good to accomplish His plans for His glory. He has both a reason and purpose for everything that happens in our lives. And we need to trust His sovereignty, trust His providence, trust His goodness and love. Now, when we begin to worry and become an anxious mess as to what is happening in our lives, as to how things are unfolding or not unfolding, we are failing to trust God. We take our eyes off Him and focus on ourselves, and we try to deal with things our own way in our own strength, thinking that our way is better than God's way, that we know better, that we know what we need and how things should be happening more than God does. A lot of our worry is rooted in pride and self-sufficiency, thinking that we know better and can do a better job at what God is doing with our lives. We sink in the sea of worry when we take our eyes off God and rely on self. Just like the Apostle Peter. He had the faith to get out of the boat and to walk on the stormy seas towards Christ. He was trusting, but as soon as he took his eyes off Christ and began to worry about the circumstances around him, he sank. And it's the exact same thing that happens in our lives. When we take our eyes off Christ, when we stop trusting Him, when we lack faith and focus on the circumstances rather than the Christ, we strangle ourselves with excessive worry and anxiety. We must understand that worry and stress eliminates trust in God. In fact, it's actually an insult towards God. For it's saying that we do not trust Him. That we fear that He is not wise enough, strong enough, or good enough to help us. This is what we are declaring about our God. It's a lack of confidence in His sovereignty, His purposes, and His promises. So did you know that God promises He will take care of you? Matthew chapter 6, Luke chapter 12. The Lord Jesus teaches that our God, our Heavenly Father, will provide our needs. We don't have to worry about food and shelter and clothing, which are the common areas of worry and stress. For our God has promised that He will take care of that. Our God clothes the flowers in such beauty and they last such a short time, how much greater will He provide for we who are created in His image? For we who are the bride of His dear Son. My friend, He is our Father. We are His children. He will take care of us. Now, if an earthly father takes care of his children, how much greater will our heavenly Father, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, take care of us? And hence, undue care is an intrusion into an area that belongs to God alone. It makes us the father of the household instead of being the children. Now, there is absolutely nothing outside of God's control. There is nothing too difficult for Him to handle. He will keep His promises and provide our needs. We need to know our God and trust our God, realize that He cares for us. And this will help us to be joyful rather than anxious, no matter the situation. In verse 5, another theological truth is revealed to help us counter the problem at hand. And that's revealed in the fact that the Lord is at hand. Due to the particular Greek structure of this phrase, it can mean one of two things. It can speak of the Lord's presence, or it can speak of the near return of Christ. And due to the way that it's structured, it's difficult to determine what is most correct. And hence I've taken the option of including both elements, for both are true and both will help. Now, we as believers are never alone. And that's a very comforting reality. Even if we are despised and forsaken by everyone on this earth, we are not forsaken by Christ. You know, we are indwelt with Christ via the Spirit. He's near us, He's with us, He's in us. He's promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, we do not have to bear the struggles of our life alone. And the presence or the absence of worry will be in direct proportion to one's awareness of the presence of Christ. My friend, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry. Jesus is near. He's with you. He knows how you feel. He knows what you're going through. You don't have to bear those burdens alone. But He is our sympathetic high priest, and He will help you. But likewise, the imminent return of Christ is also a great comfort. Now, much anxiety is caused by the uncertainty of the future. We just don't know what will happen. But we as believers know that Christ could return at any time and take us home to glory. This, my friend, is our great hope and a great aid to prevent us from worry, for we know how the story will end. It's so important that we understand that our worry, our stress and our anxiety is a great insult to our God. For it declares to all in a megaphone that we either do not know our God or we do not trust our God or both. It pronounces that we fear that God is not in control, that He's not wise enough, that He's not strong enough, that He's not keeping His promises, that He's not caring for us, all things that are not true. We can live without anxiety because our God is big enough. He is strong enough. He is in control. He will keep His promises. He will provide our needs. He's with us. He's wise enough and He's skillful enough to take all of our circumstances and situations and work them out for our good and His glory. My friend, do you believe that? Do you believe that? And live in light of these truths. For if you do this, you are well on your way to being able to eradicate your life of worry and fear and replace it with joy and peace. The second problem is a thanksgiving problem, or really a lack of thanksgiving. And this is seen in verse 6, which says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." If you remember from the introduction, I said this phrase, "be careful for nothing," could be translated, "don't be anxious." And this is a command. This is the thrust of the text. Now, the next word is "but." Now, in the Greek, this particular... In the Greek, this particular conjunction is a strong contrast. Now, what it's saying is, instead of worrying and being anxious, pray. Pray. You know, one of the cures to worry, one of the antidotes to anxiety is prayer. To pour out our hearts before the Lord, to cast our cares upon Him, rather than bearing the burdens and struggles in our own strength and being strangled by the cares of life. Seek the Lord and trust it to Him. Allow Him to bear the burdens on His omnipotent shoulders rather than our frail shoulders. Notice that we are instructed to pray about everything. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. This is all inclusive. Particularly in this context, the point is, everything that causes us to worry or to stress, commit it to the Lord. Whether it be great or small, pray. We must understand that nothing is too small and nothing is too trivial to pray about. God is never too busy for our small issues. If it's causing us to worry, then we must tell Jesus. We must entrust it to Him. And the reason why praying is so important when it comes to overcoming the problem before us is because it reveals where our hope and our dependence lies. The one who worries looks to themselves rather than God. Now, when we fail to pray, we declare that we are strong enough, that we are wise enough, that we know what we need and when we need it. It's self-reliance, self-sufficiency, self-dependency. In other words, it is pride. But if we decide to pray rather than worry, it reveals that our hope, our trust, and our dependency is firmly in the Lord. We realize that we in of ourselves are weak and frail, that we cannot bear the burdens of life alone and are utterly dependent upon our God. You know, how often we are crippled with worry for we fail to pray. You know, how often we lay awake at night with a million things running through our mind, worrying if we have enough money, if we made the right decision, whether our family's safe and so forth. We make ourselves sick and stressed as a result of failing to pray and trying to deal with everything ourselves rather than trusting our God. It's so important that we pray. But not only is it vital that we pray, but also that we pray correctly. I want to draw your attention to a phrase in verse 6. It says, with thanksgiving. And this is of utmost importance. We are to pray with an attitude of thanksgiving. Now, how easy it is for us when we are worried and stressed to pray in a way that's simply worrying, running through our worry list with a doubting and questioning attitude, perhaps even blaming God for what is happening. But this is not to be the way we pray. But rather, no matter the situation, no matter the problem, we are to come and offer our prayers before the Lord thankfully. Be thankful for what He's doing in our lives. Be thankful for what He's allowing or not allowing. For this attitude reveals humility and submission to God's will. It is the acknowledgement that His will and His way is always the best way. No, but how is this possible? It's not always easy to be thankful. We must understand God's promises, His purposes and provisions. They demand such a response. Now, He promises that no trial that we as believers face will be too difficult for us to endure. And He also promises that He will work all things together for our ultimate good and His glory. He promises that He will provide all of our needs. And it's for these reasons and others that we can possess an attitude of thanksgiving. This particular disposition of being thankful reveals a heart that is willing to surrender to God. It is the heart that follows the example of Jesus when He declared, not my will, but thine be done. It is the attitude that knows and believes God will give us what we need and when we need it. He will sustain us, He will help us, strengthen us and protect us, and that His way is always the best way, even when we don't understand. And hence we don't have to be anxious, but can be thankful. Now, praying thankfully guards us against discontentment and complaint. It protects us from if-only thinking, which is a common thought pattern for the worrier, isn't it? Now, if only I had more money, if only I had a better job, if only my house was better, if only my life was less busy, if only I could have more holidays, and so forth. No, it is declaring, if only I had these things, then I would be satisfied. But when one is thankful, they thank God for their job rather than worrying about how hard it is and if only they had a better one. They thank God for His financial provision and faithfulness and are content with what He has given, not worrying and complaining, wondering why He hasn't given more. But they are thankful for the house God has given them rather than worrying about how they can get a better one and so forth. They find their satisfaction in God rather than in things and circumstances. The worrying individual is constantly thinking if only, which leads to discontentment, complaint, and being in an anxious mess. But purposefully praying thankfully, no matter the situation, guards us against this. In fact, it's one of the cures to worry and stress. We must be thankful, willingly submitting and surrendering to God's plan in our lives, in the big things and the small things. Now, don't worry about anything, but pray thankfully about everything. For a thankful disposition is required to experience joy and peace rather than worry and anxiety. The third problem that we find is a thinking problem. And this is found in verse 8, which says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true." The mind, how we think, is of utmost importance for the believer. The world we live in places so much emphasis on feelings, but the emphasis of the New Testament is on the mind. And it's here where the battle is won and lost for the believer. Improper thinking leads to improper behavior, sinful behavior. And yet, in light of this, how often we are far too careless as to what we allow in our minds and what we think about. We would do well to be far more selective. We are very selective as to what we eat, aren't we? We would not pick up some leftovers out of the bin down the street and start eating it. We wouldn't pick up that half-eaten chocolate bar on the footpath and finish it. Nor would we eat the meat that has gone off and smells disgusting. We wouldn't eat these things because we know they'll make us sick. And yet how often we fail to be that selective with what we put in our minds and what we spend our time thinking on. And this is very dangerous, for putting the wrong things in your mouth makes you sick, so putting the wrong things in your mind also makes you spiritually sick. In fact, thinking wrongly plays a huge part in why we worry and why we are anxious. And this is often caused because we fail to think on things that are true, which is what our verse tells us. The worrying and anxious individual thinks on possibilities rather than certainties. Now, we could call this what-if thinking. Now, what if they don't like that food that I cooked? What if they don't like me? What if I don't have enough money? What if I can never afford that new car? What if I never get out of this job? What if I get sick? What if I crash? What if I die? What if? What if? What if? It's the mind that's going 100 miles an hour thinking on things that are not true and hence end up in a worrying and anxious mess. Now, much of our worry and anxiety is caused by spending too much time in our imaginations, mulling over all these possibilities that could potentially unfold in the future. Now, you know what I'm talking about. When you're laying in bed at night thinking, what if this happens? What if that happens? And the hours go by as you go through hundreds of different scenarios. And just when you think you've solved them all, you think of five more. You end up worrying yourself sick. What might happen? And this, beloved, is a failure to think on things that are true. Now, as I was meditating upon this, something sprung to mind. Do you remember Y2K? I remember that when I was a child. There's a lot of drama of the potential glitches and chaos from changing to 1999 to 2000. Now, this was a big deal. People were worried. People were stressed. Every computer in the world was going to stop working. And this was all based upon what could potentially happen. And it turned out to be no big deal. And how often this is the exact same thing that happens in our minds. That we think on things that aren't actually true. We think of potential failures, potential problems, potential rejections, what might happen in the future, and we fill our minds with all of these things, things that aren't true, and it leads us to be in an anxious mess. We must think on certainties rather than possibilities. Another facet on thinking on things that aren't true is when something true happens and we assume something as a result of that true action. We follow it out to a certain conclusion that we think is logical, but generally it isn't. Allow me to illustrate. If someone doesn't talk to you or acknowledge you, so you assume that that particular person hates you. I must have done something wrong. I'm such a terrible person. Have you ever done that? Or have you ever thought that maybe that person's just having a bad day? Or perhaps they're going through something difficult in their lives? Or 100 other things? You know, they probably don't hate you. And that is why we must be careful not to make assumptions. For these assumptions are not actually true, and they lead us to worrying and stressing about things that aren't real. Now, I wonder how often the things we worry about and are anxious about are even true. How often we assume things. We think on possibilities rather than certainties. We fill our mind with what if and if only thinking, living out the supposed future in our minds before it even happens. Now, we need to monitor our minds and be selective as to what we put in and what we think about if we ever wish to be free from worry and anxiety. We need to reject thinking on the possibilities of what could go wrong, of assuming why people have done something or responded in a certain way. You know, thinking of the hundreds of what-if scenarios, but rather think on things that are true. Fill our minds with truth and meditate upon that. The question is, what is truth? Well, Jesus is truth, is he not? John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. My friend, we need to fill our minds with the word of God. Be meditating upon this, for it is true. But think upon the attributes of God, the promises of God. Think on all of these things that are true rather than the countless other things that are not true, which contribute to our worry and our anxiety. You know, my friend, Satan is a liar. He's the father of lies. And he always has and always will bombard humanity with lies. May we not think on these lies, but rather think on truth. For this is necessary in order to experience joy and peace rather than worry. We must think correctly. Now, as the children of God, we can be free from worry and anxiety. We can trade this in for the joy of the Lord that is always present no matter what is going on, and for the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Peace that cannot be humanly understood. Wouldn't you much rather inner joy and tranquility of mind and soul rather than being strangled with worry and anxiety? And my friend, the real challenge of the Christian life is not to eliminate every unpleasant circumstance, but rather it is to trust in the good purpose of our infinite, holy, powerful, and loving God in every situation. The man or woman who does this will experience the blessing of unspeakable joy and perfect peace, and they will guard their hearts and minds against worry, stress, and anxiety. So, beloved, you can be released from the strangling effects of worry and anxiety. Trade it in for joy unspeakable and incomprehensible peace. Doesn't that sound like a great trade? That can be yours. You don't have to be crippled and strangled by worry, stress, or anxiety. Amen.